It's time for some anime.
We're back, baby.
Actually, this is a special episode.
Why?
Because it is the end
of
The Promised Neverland.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the ending of The Promised Neverland and then catch up on some JoJo if we feel like it.
I feel like it.
Well, that makes for one of us.
Do you want to catch up on JoJo first and then talk about Promised Neverland? Or sure. Do you want to go Promised Neverland sure. first?
I guess JoJo will be faster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, battles.
So we watched battles. We watched episodes 22 to 25.
Yes. Wait, 22, 23, 24, 25.
Yeah, so there's two battles.
Yeah.
Two battles.
The first one, they reach Venice.
Venice.
Trish is safe in the turtle. And they're like, you know what? We need a break. We need to refill our guts,
yes.
You know, with some food. Mm. And so they go to Venice. They're chilling, having a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Narancia just gets wine on a dude. And then when they try,
oh my god,
the guy tries to like extort him out of money. They just beat the shit out of him.
Yes.
And then Abaccio's just like eating dinner and then joins in on beating the shit out of him.
Yeah, that was so cruel.
I feel like that's just to remind you, like, hey, these guys aren't good. Like, they're also bad guys. Like, they're mafiosos.
I guess so, but still.
They just beat the shit out of that guy.
So mean.
But really, what's happening is that there's a stand attack.
Yeah.
Did you see that coming? That there's going to be another stand attack?
No.
No, neither did
no.
I. Never.
No.
Stand attacks never happen in this
no,
show.
No, I did not know.
Why
would there be a stand attack?
I don't know. Why? It's probably not story relevant. But Narancia is eating some soup when he loses his spoon. And he's like, huh, okay. I guess I'll go get another spoon. Thought he lost it.
Mm.
He gets the other spoon. He's digging around in his soup. And he finds an eaten spoon. In his soup with his other spoon.
Oh, yes.
He drops that. He's like, that's weird. And then a shark is in his soup?
Sure.
A shark shows up in his soup.
Mm.
And then he shoots the soup.
Yeah.
With his airplane.
Yeah. This is just sounding real dumb the way you described this.
And then he's shooting the soup. And then the shark appears in the soup again, even though it's on the ground.
We should clarify, he wasn't having shark fin soup.
No, he was not having shark fin soup. It was just a shark appears in his soup.
Okay.
Right? And then it's a stand. The shark bites off Narancia's tongue.
Yeah.
So he can't talk. Giorno fixes it, but something's weird because Narancia, everything he's saying is the opposite of what he wants to say.
Yeah.
Right? It turns out there are two stands.
Yeah.
There's Crush, which is the shark, and there's Talking Head, which is a remote stand that attaches to an opponent's tongue, and it only allows them to say the opposite of whatever they actually mean.
Yeah.
So the combo between the two is them lying to the team to give them false information to lure them into traps where Crush can just utterly destroy them.
Yeah.
Because Crush's other ability, other than just being a shark, is that he can teleport between any close bodies of liquid.
Yep.
Anything. And the bigger the liquid, like the bigger the liquid pool, the bigger Crush becomes, thus the more powerful.
Yes.
So if he teleports into a wine glass, he's small, can still be pretty fast, but he's not as powerful. If he teleports into the Venice Canal, he's massive and will destroy you.
Yeah.
And the two episodes are them is Narancia trying to help, but not actually help?
Yes.
Giorno being a fucking genius.
Yes.
And them fighting a shark.
Yes.
What did you think about shark fights?
I thought, I don't know what to think. It's like, what the fuck is this shark? What is this teleporting magic?
Yeah, you can teleport.
And then I just didn't know why he just... There's a point when they have Giorno.
Yeah.
I was like, why don't you just keep teleporting away? Why do you gotta keep teasing this shit?
Mm-hmm.
Just go away. But he doesn't.
No. It's a bad guy. He got it. He's got to explain his plan to the guy on the tongue.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So I really couldn't stand this fight because it was centered around Narancia.
Yeah.
And I just have no patience with stupid characters.
Oh, baby.
And he exhibited every form of stupidity.
He's got it all.
I know. Like, I get it. He can't say what he wants to say. So then just say the opposite. Does he do it? No.
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 He's just so dumb.
He even says, why am I only saying the things that are opposite? And it's like, wow, so you know what the issue is.
Yeah, he's just dumb.
Just fucking solve it. Come on, man. Oh, killing me.
Yeah, yeah.
It hurt. I was dying.
I saw you. Yeah. I saw you're like, even at certain points where like, I like certain things in the fight happened where it looked like you had a look on your face. You were like, I this is kind of cool. But also, he's so dumb.
Yeah, it's just so irritating watching dumb people.
that one is pretty fun. It's more fun to watch than really talk about because it doesn't really have a major impact on the story at all.
Basically, what happens is, you know, through I guess sheer perseverance, he finds them.
Yeah, he cuts off his own tongue.
Yeah, and then he's like, "Oh, I found you, bitch."
He's like, I didn't need a tongue because Journal made a tongue for me.
Yeah, of course.
Before he got taken by the shark.
And so that's the thing. This whole fight only works because half-dead Journal saves the day.
He's a genius.
Yes. He's fucking... He just knows everything.
400 IQ.
Journal's a god. I don't know. I don't know why he's rolling with this crew. He can do the whole show by himself.
He can do it all.
Apparently when he's dead, he still has the ability to do everything.
But he's not dead. He only has a shark that buried into his throat.
Yes.
And he can only faintly breathe. Fuck.
And yet he can still make Narancha a new tongue?
Yeah. What the perseverance on this man.
That was the other thing too. Like only Giorno could see that Narancha wasn't being a fucking idiot. Like that he, like I don't get why, you know, Abaccio, Mista, whatever. They're all meatheads too.
Yeah.
But
Bruno,
come on.
Yeah.
He knows his crew. When something's up, I feel like you should be able to like anybody should be able to recognize when their friends are like being a little weird.
Yeah.
Right? Or like out of character. Mm. So that kind of annoyed me. Just like how y'all.
When
just...
he was like pissing into the toilet.
Yeah, like, come on, guys. Clearly something's wrong. But Abaccio takes it like, what are you, some kind of pervert? This is gross. Yeah, let's get out of here.
What are you doing? I need to leave. This is disgusting.
Yeah, and then they follow him like, wait, what? No one's going to question him on this shit?
Yeah, honestly, this is one of my least favorite fights not the series, but like the franchise. The arc of the part 5 arc.
Yeah,
it's not great. I like the idea of a teleporting shark. Yeah. Like, like, imagine David Attenborough being like, and now we see the shark in his natural habitat teleporting from water glass to water glass.
It's a terrifying predator.
Yeah, eating on the high society.
God, imagine sharks could teleport. That'd be
fucking... It'd be over.
It'd be so terrifying.
It'd be over.
Yeah, that really would change the face of Sharknado.
Have you ever read Gyo by Junji Ito?
No.
It's about sharks or fish that get robot legs.
Oh my god.
Because of all the trash we put into the ocean.
That sounds and horrifying.
Then one, yeah, and then one of the fish like figures out how to make robot legs for sharks.
Wait, did you tell me he just made street sharks?
Kinda.
Wow.
But it's like the legs are like spider legs.
Oh, that's terrifying.
Yeah, and they're just sharks. Oh, like they're
that's
just
scary.
It's super scary. And then like they enslave the human race.
Wow.
Yeah, and like breed fish through humans.
Ooh.
Yeah, by like setting them up to breeding machines. Like it's fucked up.
Wow.
It's disgusting.
That's an imagination.
Recommended read.
Wow.
It's really scary.
Okay.
But yeah, so teleporting sharks is a thing in JoJo. This fight is fun to look at and just be like, what am I watching?
Yeah, yeah.
But the next fight is something unique to, I think it's the first time it's happened in this.
Yeah, and totally, franchise. Also totally not as stupid, don't worry.
No, don't worry about it, not even close. They make it outside of Venice, they make it to the Marco Polo airport, they get a private jet, and they are flying to that island I don't remember the name of. It's very Italian. It's like
it kind of sounded like Sardinia.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Sardinia.
Yeah.
and they're like, we're gonna make it here because this is where the boss is. we're going to finally face off against our most evil enemy. And they're like, Giorno, check the airplane. Not a living thing on the airplane. He's like, perfect. And then Mista is standing guard, and Narancia is doing scouting pretty much. And all of a sudden, just on the tarmac, they're ready to go. Just some dude just runs at the just runs at the airplane, and Mista just fucking blows him away.
Yeah,
just 17 shots to the face.
Yeah,
instantly dead. Just murdered.
It's the most effective I've ever seen this guy.
The team has never been more efficient in murder.
Yeah. than in this episode. I was almost taken aback. I'm like, really? They can just kill people like that? They can
just kill people? he looked weird, but he did show his stand immediately.
Yeah.
So he's dead. Giorno goes and makes sure that all the life force is gone from his body. Puts his hand on him. He's like, deadzo. Dunzo. Uh-huh. It's over. So they go on the plane, and they're like, we got like 2 hours on this plane. We're gonna make it to whatever the place I just said was, and we're gonna meet the boss. And it turns out the stand followed them. Because this is the first introduction of a post-mortem stand.
Yeah.
A stand that can only be activated or used after the user has been deceased.
Yeah.
Or has been killed, murdered, whatever.
Yeah.
These stands are usually pretty buck wild because it's just the stand acting on its own.
Yeah.
And the, just like because it has no stand that has to control it, it can kind of do some buck wild stuff.
Yeah.
Which this one, it totally can. This stand's name is called Notorious B.I.G. And his whole thing is that it will match the speed of whatever is moving the fastest within a certain area. It will match the speed, attack that object, and absorb it. When it absorb it, it gains strength and becomes bigger because it's feeding off of its energy.
Mm-hmm.
This starts off by, because Giorno put his hand on the body, like a speck, I guess.
Yeah, that's the part I didn't get. Like, I guess... Okay.
Like a speck came on him and then it brought it onto the plane. And also there were just like fingers in a fridge.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Yeah. That part I don't get. I think unless they planted them there beforehand.
Yeah.
The part
after that I also don't get.
Which part?
Where?
When he points a gun at the fridge?
No. No, so when Giorno finds the graffiti on the side of the plane.
Oh, you missed. So, like, the thing was, is that because Giorno had touched the thing, it had been on him.
Yeah.
Right? And the fingers that were in the whatever were from the dead body, right? But it was that because it was on Giorno, it was feeding slowly under his sleeve. And when Giorno sat down onto the plane, like, he saw all this graffiti being written or whatever. When he rolled up his sleeve, the thing on his arm formed a hand and had a pen in its hand. So he had a hand on his arm that was separate. That was the thing. And the hand was writing shit on the plane. Yeah.
Okay.
It's still dumb, but yes. Yeah. But it is the first stand we see that is, probably other than the bosses, that is unbeatable.
Yeah.
When you see its stats, like durability infinite, speed infinite, power infinite.
Yeah.
Like it is unbeatable. Mm. And so they have to do a workaround. Giorno cuts off both his fucking arms.
Yeah.
To try and get rid of this thing. Mista has a bunch of his sex pistols eaten. Narancia gets his airplane eaten. They're out of commission.
Yeah.
So really it's Giorno, Bruno for a little bit. And Giorno, Bruno, and Trish.
Yeah.
And this whole arc really revolves around Trish and the awakening of her stand, Spice Girls.
Yeah.
Spice Girls power. So first off, like, just everyone dying pretty much to this unbeatable stand because it just destroys everything in its wake. The only thing that can beat it is obviously Trish.
Mm-hmm.
And Spice Girls power is the ability to make things infinitely soft.
Yes.
And thus giving it infinite durability.
Yes.
Because they can't be destroyed because they're so soft.
Wow.
The first showing of this is when she is running away from the enemy because she gets scared, falls into a chair, but the chair gets soft, pushes her to the other side, and then the enemy gets stuck on the other side of the chair because it's just trying to follow the speed, right? Yeah. And then Spice Girl appears and she's like, I am you, you are me, persona.
Basically, yeah.
Trisha's stand is unique too because it can talk to her. Like, it kind of has a mind of its own. It's like they're working as a unit. But they beat, after trying to get rid of the stand like 7 times, they don't actually beat it.
No.
Yeah. Like, Trish does a bunch of stuff to make things soft and do a lot of interesting things that way. But the this is, I like this battle because they don't actually beat the stand. No. What they do is that they just get it away from them.
Yeah.
They cut the plane in half.
Yes.
So that, and then she makes the cockpit of the plane soft. Mm-hmm. So, oh, sorry, by yelling, wannabe!
She does yell that.
She yells wannabe as her battle cry.
And I can't figure out why.
I'll tell you what I want, what I really, really want.
No.
Don't they have a song called Wannabe?
Do they?
I think so. I could live Google this right now.
What I want? Yeah, maybe.
Spice Girl.
Probably.
Wannabe. Lyrics. Yeah. Oh, if you want to be my love.
Oh.
Yeah, they have a song called Wannabe.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
So that's there.
I would have preferred Stop. But whatever.
Stop.
Yeah.
Then she'd have time powers, and you can't do that.
Okay.
So yeah, she yells Wannabe, makes the whole cockpit soft. They cut the, unzip the part of the plane that Notorious B.I.G. is on.
They circumcise the plane.
They circumcise the plane.
Yeah.
They ride the foreskin down like a parachute.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
And the thing here is that Notorious B.I.G., unable to be to be defeated, is dropped in the middle of the ocean, eternally chasing after waves.
Yes.
Because it's an automatic stand and it goes after the fastest thing.
Yeah.
And occasionally it takes down ships that are faster than the wave, but it turns into like a folklore legend, like a Kraken type thing, which they did a lot in part 4. Like, a lot of the things they did in part 4 like turns into like, oh, these are landmarks now in the town.
That's cool.
But yeah, it's like the Kraken now exists. This thing can never die.
Yeah.
Because it's just attacking waves forever. And they won. So like, the thing here is like, what did you think about Spice Girl? What did you think about her power being used against this enemy and like the way they used it?
I thought it was cool. Like, I thought Spice Girl is cool. I like how it talks to her.
Yeah.
I think that's really neat. The power itself is pretty neat too. I thought it was a bit far-fetched how she came about to use it to ultimately win.
Just like be in utter fear and
so,
then it awakened within
her. So I didn't realize, one, she could just cut things. She could cut through a plane.
Yeah.
The rubber cockpit was something.
Wannabe?
I couldn't logistically figure out how they were sitting in it, but it was also a parachute.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, stuff.
Yeah. No, so she's fine. My big thing about this whole scenario is thinking about the logistics of this stand, about this guy, about his whole life.
Yeah. That his whole life is just like, I need to die. Now.
So one, how do they know he had this stand?
Yeah.
How does he know he has this stand? Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, did the boss just hire him for like...
for a suicide run?
And then if that's the case, why is he so dedicated to the boss? What does he have on him?
Yeah.
Like, what's he doing? And that's where my mind is at the whole episode. Like, 'cause like, his whole purpose is to die.
Yeah.
And that's just so tragic.
He is kind of the most tragic villain. Yeah, you're right. Really, like, he doesn't even get a dialogue line.
No, he shows up, and he's not even like, he's also like, unfortunately cursed with this awful appearance.
Yep.
And it's just like, why so loyal?
What has he got on you, my dude?
What is happening here?
Maybe he's like promising his family like a good life or something.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
Mm.
Yeah, Spice Girl's cool.
Spice Girl is cool.
But again, we see that Giorno, the god.
Oh, the god man.
The god man. Who cuts off both his arms.
And he's like, listen, I don't think that we can do this anymore. Because just like my power, Sticky Fingers.
Yeah.
Bruno's power is activated, which is when our fists hit something.
Yeah.
And because now Bruno has no arms,
yeah,
he cannot activate his power to heal us.
Yeah.
But little did they know, before he selflessly cut off his own arm on a window pane,
yeah,
he had given his brooch life.
Yes.
To make a new left arm.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
And for a whole portion of the battle is that, like, the pulsing from the brooch yeah. is like movement yeah. that the thing is like trying to eat, and he's like, and Trish is like, no, I have to protect the brooch.
Yeah, I have to protect the brooch with fingers.
The brooch with fingers that's pulsating like a heart.
Yeah. It's just fucking
He's a genius.
He's a god.
He's a god. Like, straight up. Like, yeah. He's got to be just, like, ultimate genius. Yeah. Like, 400 IQ.
Yeah. I'm just waiting for this whole arc to end and Dio just gets ripped out of his face.
He's just like, his dad is Dio.
Yeah, he's like, oh, just kidding. It was me.
Dio the whole time. Yeah. Yeah, and I guess you haven't watched the part three or anything, or part one. But Bruno's battle cry is Dio's battle cry. Is Muda, 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 Muda.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Muda just means useless.
Yeah.
So when Dio attacks his enemies, yeah. he just calls them useless while he's beating the shit out of them. But that's what he does. It's like, Muda, Muda, Muda.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you go. But if I remember correctly, we are now coming towards some of the final arcs. I think there's maybe one more hit squad. And then it's on to the final head honcho and the leader of the original hit squad. Was it Prosciutto, I think his name was?
Oh, yeah.
No, it wasn't Prosciutto. What was his name? I forget. Oh, his stand. Man, you thought Giorno was unstoppable. Mm. You thought skipping through time was unstoppable.
No.
You thought being unstoppable was unstoppable.
Oh, no. More stupidity, eh?
No, it's this one. This one is like.
We'll get there when we.
Yeah,
get
well,
there.
It's like, how do you lose?
Yeah. Okay. All right. So it's JoJo. It continues to be JoJo.
Yeah, it's great.
Nah. Next up, Promised Neverland. We watched the last three episodes,
dude.
So where we leave off, Norman makes it to the top of the wall.
Yeah.
And they're like, Norman, you escape. You just do it.
And he's like, nah.
And Norman ends up coming back. And he's like, guys, we can't.
It's a cliff.
Goddamn cliff.
And the utter despair. Yeah,
and the gap is too big.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I'm going to die now.
I'm just going to accept my fate.
It's over. I'm dead. And Norman dies.
Or does he?
Oh, you're right. We never see an on-screen death.
And this show is all about on-screen deaths.
Yes.
Yeah, right? So, like, Norman gets taken with Mom, and yeah. Mom, he mind fucks Mom, yeah. first of all. He's like, Mom, are you happy?
Yeah.
And she's like, oh!
Yeah.
Right? And he's like, Norman, you can wait in this room. Yeah. And instead of taking him to the truck, they go to this other room, and he's like, and then it cuts.
Yeah, he's like, what is it?
What is it? And then they never show it.
I bet you they're going to turn him into a breeding machine.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Is it?
Yes.
All right.
I guess.
All right. So the next episode, we just see Emma and Ray in complete despair.
Yeah.
And they've just given up on life. And for 2 months, they are lifeless. Uh-huh. They do just jack waiting, shit.
They're waiting for Ray to be...
To just be killed.
Killed, just shipped off.
They're waiting for Emma to get her date.
Yeah.
And that's... And we just see a lot of depressing stuff happen.
But are they depressed?
So it comes to the night of Ray's send-off.
Departure,
yes. And Emma goes to see Ray one last time.
In the cafeteria?
Yeah, or the dining room.
Yeah.
And Ray's like, have you really given up? And Emma's like, fuck no.
No, she doesn't even say it. She just puts on this like murder smile.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
And you're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then the episode ends.
Yeah, and you're like, oh, shit.
Shit.
And then I think it's the following episode, Emma reveals that this whole time she's been putting on an act so that Mom would... not see what else is going on. And yes. she's basically gotten Dawn and
Gilda
to train the kids.
Yeah, secretly. They're like, we should tell more people.
Yeah, and they it turns out Norman left a whole plan for them.
Yeah. You're talking about a god. Let me tell you about planning 20 steps ahead.
Yeah, let me
Norman.
Tell you Norman, the fucking real god. He planned everything. Emma carries out the plan through the help of Dawn and Gilda.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that...
Is this before or after Ray tried to set himself on fire?
This is all before.
Okay.
And then... I think and then somewhere in there, Ray's like, okay, well, if that's the plan, if that's how we're going to do it, we're going to need a distraction to get out of here.
Yeah.
Right? And so then Ray's like, I lit this whole place with gasoline. I'm going to put on fire.
Yeah, check out all this fucking lighter.
But also check this shit out. I'm going to put myself on fire.
Mom can't risk the merchandise.
Yeah, baby.
Being lost.
Yeah, baby. And so all we see is a giant explosion.
Yeah. And we're like.
And we're like, oh, shit.
He set himself on fire.
He did. And Emma's in front crying. Mom rushes in like, what a fuck. What a fuck. And mom's like,
where's the merchandise? She's like,
well, as long as his brains are okay.
Yeah. And then apparently there's something good about the brains now.
Yeah.
That we didn't know before.
So mom goes to try and put out the fire. And when she turns around to call on Emma, Emma's gone.
No, or is she?
Emma ditched.
Because, like, she's gone, but checks the little...
The
Dragon Ball tracker.
Yeah, and it's like, wait, she's still here.
Yeah, she's just around the corner.
She's still here. And she goes to find around the corner. There's a bucket, and in the bucket is Emma's ear.
She cut off her ear!
But not only that, mom goes back, and she goes to look for Ray. And all she finds is Ray's ear.
Ray's not there, baby.
Ray's not there either. And then the bigger plan is revealed. Emma's put this whole thing together. She's got the kids to help out. They put together like a sausage fest to pretend like it's Ray's burning body.
Yeah.
And then at this point, Ray asks, where's the rest of the children?
Yeah.
Emma's like, I had this talk with this 4-year-old.
You know who the biggest badass of this whole show is?
I know!
That fucking 4-year-old.
Yeah.
He's such a baller.
He's like, so it's true.
No, I kind of thought that they were breeding us to eat us, and I just didn't really.
He's like, you know what? You go, I'll stay back, and yeah. I will train the kids for when they're old enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're just like, wow, this 4-year-old.
This 4-year-old is the best.
He's got ambitions for when he's 6.
For when he's 6.
Like, and that's where the kids stay. But everyone,
5 and up,
are with Emma and Ray, and they've scaled the wall.
Yeah,
they've done their planning. They did the throwing rocks to a tree.
Yeah,
then they did the coat hanger slide across.
They showed the training montage of,
and it's incredible.
Yeah, everything comes back to fruition. Like even the conversation Norman is having with Emma behind the sheets.
Yeah,
like they really for some reason have these really detailed coat hangers in the scene. Yeah. And then they use the coat hangers to slide across the gap, and like
it's just so well thought
out. It's so well thought out.
Yeah.
It's some just smart writing. It's just insanely smart writing.
Yeah, like and the great thing is none of it ever feels like it was like a super contrived or like, oh, this is our like the ace up our sleeve. Like it all felt like
it's never an ass pull.
Yeah, it's just like, oh yeah, no, it's there.
I think some of it, some of the previous stuff is ass pulls, but
probably
yeah.
But it's okay because they amounted to nothing.
Yeah, that's why it's an ass pull, right? Yeah. It's just like how we faked you out. Also, doesn't matter.
Yeah, so they're almost all across. Last one's Emma. Emma sees mom, and he's like, "Yo, peace out, mom."
Yeah, Emma does see mom. Is like, she's like, how could you?
She's like, Emma, don't go. Don't go, Emma. You can be a mom like me.
Yeah. I'll give you. Yeah, she tried to give her like the deal, right?
Yeah.
Like, I'll let you be a mom.
Yeah.
And then you'll live.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can survive or whatever. And she's like, I'm Gucci.
Yeah. Slides across. Mom's lost all the children. At this point, mom's like, time for my hair to come down.
She lets her hair down. And then that kind of just reveals that like, she was the one in the grandma flashback.
So she goes through her whole life.
Yeah.
Yeah, and at one point she was Emma. or like
that, that version. Yeah. Yeah.
She saw the gap and she took the decision of staying to become a mom instead of trying to escape. And it goes through her whole life, how she grew up, how she was impregnated, and one of the final tests to become a mom is to be pregnant and give up your child to the farm.
What the fuck?
Yeah, and then at the end, it's revealed that she hears Ray, baby Ray, or younger Ray,
humming this tune
that she heard as a kid from a boy she liked.
Yeah.
And she said, "How do you know that song?" And Ray responds with, "Mom."
Yeah. And, like, it's just like, that's her name in the farm, but also you're like, they gave her her own son to raise.
And it totally explains now why mom picked Ray as the secret spy. Yeah. Like, that's her real son.
Yeah.
That's so
fucked. That's so fucked.
Yeah.
That's also good writing.
Yeah. Like, and that's the biggest twist. And
that's insane. That's insane.
Yeah. And then the show ends with the kids running off into the forest.
Yeah, they're like, we made it.
And you're kind of just left to be like,
this is our first sunrise outside the farm.
Good luck.
Yeah, good luck. What, like, what's next? Where's Norman? Mm-hmm. Is he dead? Like, what are they going to do with all these kids? How are they going to eat? What are they going to do to survive now? Yeah,
what happens to mom? Is she killed? She crashed? Like, what happens to our 4-year-old hero?
Oh, yeah. I want that story. What does happen to our 4-year-old hero? Fucking baller over there.
So that's where it ends. I believe the manga's gone a little bit further.
Yeah.
And this show has confirmed season 2 in 2020.
It's too far.
I know.
It's too far.
Yeah, but it was,
Yo, this show's good.
It was a good show.
This show's good.
It didn't end up being the show that I thought it would be. Like, I thought it'd be more about the alien life forms just feasting.
Yeah. Maybe that's like season 2.
Yeah. But yeah, no, the show is definitely thriller horror.
Yeah.
But it's not about the aliens. It's definitely about the mental battles between the adults and the kids and just fear of the unknown. I thought it was really good.
It's super good.
Really good show. Probably one of the standouts of the season. I liked it a lot.
It's so good.
It's a good show.
It's so good.
It's a good show. I recommend it.
I also highly recommend it.
Check it out if you haven't. Promised Neverland.
Yeah. So this is where the elephant in the room comes up of just like, is Anime Club done? Do we finish JoJo? Are we going to pick another show to watch in the season? Mm-hmm. We don't know.
We don't know yet. I don't know.
Because not everything's been released yet.
Yeah, and I took a quick glance at the charts.
Yeah.
I couldn't really see anything that really interested me.
Yeah. Like, there is the option of going back to, like, last season or the season before and just picking out something we missed.
There is something that I do want to watch from last season. Have you heard of it called Dororo?
Dororo? Yeah, the what's his name?
Tezuka?
Yeah, Osamu Tezuka series. Yeah, I've read a little bit of the manga, like, I think maybe, like, the first couple chapters, and I played, like, maybe 30 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
But I've never actually, like, finished the whole thing.
Yeah. I heard that's the standout of
last season. Yeah, I've heard just amazing things about it.
Yeah, I wanted to watch that, but I found out it's like on Amazon Prime streaming, and that's just not happening.
You sure? Mm-hmm. Positive?
We'll see. We'll see if there's something this
season. Don't you got to watch the Grand Tour at some point?
That's what I watched this past week as well, yeah. I found ways.
Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, well, it's different, you know?
Yeah. Well, maybe we'll find a way.
But maybe we should watch something current.
Maybe.
We'll see. Maybe we'll find some idle shit we can watch.
No! What have I done? Damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, tell us what you guys thought of Promised Neverland. Just the ending of that was just awesome. So that, at least we thought.
Yeah.
So like, tell us what you think.
It's good ending.
Yeah, and we'll see where Anime Club goes from here. Mm-hmm. There may be a hiatus, but we'll see.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.